Good to see you. It always surprises me when we start the service how few people are here, and then when we're at this stage it's full. So if you snuck in late, then you're very welcome. We will not name and shame you. So we are doing a series on Romans, and we're going to be doing it for some time. We're not in a rush. We're still looking at the introduction this morning. If you have your Bible with you, then open up to the beginning of Romans. If you don't, I've put the words on the screen. Cool. So reading from Romans 1, verse 8 to 14. Like I say, this is still part of the introduction, but introductions are so important. We can learn so much about God and about the person that's writing this letter. It's just, so I don't want to rush through it, you know, that's why we're doing the introduction still. Esther will be sort of looking at some amazing verses next week, but let's look at this together. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith has been reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, but I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel to also to you who are in Rome. So this morning I've got just 2 points I want to draw out of this. There's loads of points. We could be here all day, but Esther put a chicken in the oven and I'm prepared to get home on time to eat that. So 2 points. The first one is mission. Paul wrote this letter to Rome, to the guys in Rome, to prepare them for his visit. It says in Romans 15:19 that he preached from Jerusalem to Illyricum, which is in Bosnia. He had exhausted all opportunities. He was a formidable traveller, a formidable man that went to many places. And he really wanted to push up into Rome and into Europe, which is why he wrote this letter. This here, you probably won't be able to see it from the back, but it just gives you an idea. There are 4 different colours of the 4 mission trips. This guy travelled thousands of miles. He was absolutely committed to his cause, an amazing person. Simon Ponsonby says that Paul had a heartache for a harvest. He had a heartache for a harvest. This is why he did all this, because he had a heartache to harvest. When God arrested Paul, don't forget he was called Saul. We looked at this a few weeks ago. When God arrested him, he did the most amazing transformation in a man that was just so violently opposed to Christ and Christians. You know, when people say to me, why is it that you believe? Why are you a Christian? I think about people like Paul, who at one point was murdering Christians, at one point hated Jesus and his followers so much, he was prepared to kill them. And then he had this most amazing transformation and travelled all these miles, and no doubt more, in order to talk about Jesus Christ. That, for me, is a massive proof that Jesus is alive. What caused that transformation? Absolutely incredible that someone can change so much. When Jesus met with Paul on the road to Damascus, he got his attention, but more than that, he got his heart. He truly captured his heart. When God gets hold of a person, mission is at their heart. When God captures someone, mission is planted deep down in that person. That person begins to live to a different tune. No longer is it about just working to earn money, to buy a bigger house, or to have your kids in the right school. None of those things are wrong. But when we meet Jesus, we live to a different tune. There's a reason. There's something that propels us, that causes us to live and think differently. We were looking at, on Tuesday, our small group. If you're not in a small group, I'd really encourage you to join one, because it's so great just to spend time with each other, praying and challenging one another. And the group that Esther and I are a part of is, we're looking at J. John's Just 10. Absolutely brilliant. You can still sign up. It's not too late. We meet at 7:30 here on 7:45 on Tuesday. But we were looking, J. John teaches us through the Ten Commandments, and he starts at number 10, which is do not covet. And it's all about contentment. We were looking at this on Tuesday. We were encouraged to look at the things that are eternal and not the things that are temporary. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen, which are not seen, sorry, are eternal. So missions causes us to think about the things that are important, the things that really matter. Romans is a mission letter which reveals a missions God. And Paul was a missions man with his eyes on the harvest. So this is a key verse for this morning. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but I've been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I've had among the other Gentiles. Paul was looking for a harvest. He was intentional, and his eyes were open. He knows there's a harvest. He absolutely knows it because of what Jesus said. And he knows that the harvest is ripe for reaping. I want to be really clear about what a harvest is. In this context, we're talking about people that don't yet know Jesus and are desperate for him. People that have no church background, perhaps, but they're dissatisfied, they're disillusioned, they're empty, they're dry, they're just tired of running a rat race. This is the harvest that Paul's talking about. It's the harvest that Jesus died for. It's the harvest that when he was hanging on the cross with his blood-filled eyes, he looked out on those that were persecuting him. And he prayed for forgiveness. He prayed that they would one day know God. This is the harvest we're talking about. Jesus said in John 4:35, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. It is always a season for harvesting. Always. It's always a time to harvest. There are always people that are ready and ripe to know Jesus. Always. The trouble is, many of us have our eyes closed. Or if they're not closed, they're turned in on ourselves. So long the church is just preaching and reaching to herself. Jesus says, look, there is a harvest. Be intentional. People want to know Jesus. They just don't know that they want to know Jesus. I read this on Facebook the other day. Disciple or customer? Are you a disciple or customer? A disciple, a follower, learns all he can about his master's trade. A customer wants as much as he can get for as little as he has to pay. It's an uncomfortable challenge, isn't it? Are we disciples or are we customers? The church can become so consumerist, wrapped up in itself. At the point that we lose the vision for mission, we're no longer the people of God, we're just religious. Let me say that again. At the point we lose the vision for mission, we are no longer the people of God, we're just religious. If we are living just for ourselves, just to keep this a cozy club, then it's just religion, and I'm out. Because it's not just about us. Of course we benefit, we have an amazing time, and this is kind of my second point I'll go on to later. But we are to benefit for the sake of those that aren't yet here. Sorry, we're to be here for the benefit of those that aren't yet here. Because at one point we weren't here. So it's all about mission. And I'm not talking about travelling overseas. We have some missionaries with us today, Chris and Linda. It's great to have you come here. They've just gone to Portugal to proclaim Christ. We love you guys. You're amazing. But it's not about travelling across the sea. J. John once said, a missionary is not someone that crosses a sea, but someone that sees a cross. Because the truth is, if you can't witness at home, you won't be able to witness abroad. So it's not about going across the sea. I'm not talking about us all disappearing off to Africa. But I'm talking about us seeing a cross and being compelled by Christ. What distinguishes the religious from those that have caught God's heart is whether we are looking inwards or outwards. Are we looking at ourselves all the time, or are we looking for a harvest? Jesus says, look, because the fields are ripe for harvest. We need to be looking for harvest in the community. That is a freaky ringtone. Okay, Lord, if now's the time. But the church is so often more interested in building bigger barns than it is in bringing in a harvest. Look, the harvest is ripe. Proverbs 10:5 says, he who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Paul lived for a harvest. He absolutely lived for it. In verse 10, he said he prayed. In verse 11, he said he longed to visit Rome for a harvest. It's what drove him. He wanted to see people meet Jesus. Jesus said, open your eyes and look. I just want to hit pause for like 20 seconds. Right now, right where you are, if you know Jesus, just think for 20 seconds, God, who is there around me that you're calling me to love and to witness to? Where's the harvest, Lord? Ask him that now. Where's the harvest? Just 2 weeks ago, in this place, a young lady came up to the front, and she was broken, she was disillusioned, she was tired, she was dissatisfied. And she said, I'm just tired of doing it on my own. I talked to her about Jesus. I gave her the gospel message that he loves us, we can't earn salvation, but he wants us to invite him in. And there and then, with tears in her eyes, she said, yes. Yes. She was bought by a person that's on the fringe of church. We don't have to know everything in order to witness. We don't have to know the Bible inside out to see a harvest. We need to have the heart of Christ to see the last, the least, and the lost. To care about people that are broken, that are lost, that are hurting. St. Augustine was once asked, who is our neighbour? Which ones are the ones we should love, tend for, and share the gospel with? This is his answer. Pay special attention to those who by the accidents of time or space or circumstance are brought into closer connection with you. Start with them. Start with those people. There is a harvest that needs harvesting, and we need harvesters, because the ripe cannot reap themselves. So that's number one, mission. Number two, strengthen. I long to see you so I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. So we know that the Romans were amazing people, that their faith was notorious. Paul says in his letter that people all over the world were speaking about them. So why did these people that were famous for their faith need strengthening? Exactly the same reason that we need strengthening. Conversion is not the end, but it's the beginning. Jesus spoke about being born again, which is about a new start, new learning, new thinking. The reason we need strengthening is because some of us are babes in Christ, and some of us that aren't babes in Christ are still vulnerable to false teaching. Romans, it goes later on, we won't preempt it, but later on, there is so much where Paul is talking about false teaching. In Galatians, he says, who has bewitched you? Who's cut in on your faith? We need strengthening, folks, because there's so much nonsense out there because we have an enemy. It's amazing how many Christians believe in God but don't believe in Satan. It's absolutely amazing. But be absolutely clear about this. We have an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And we need to be wise to it. We don't want to give him too much credit. We don't want to think about him too much. But we don't want to be ignorant either. We have an enemy. Before we have faith, before we know the truth, we're of very little interest to Satan. He's not that interested in us because we don't threaten him that much. But as soon as we become Christians, as soon as we open our eyes, as soon as we see Jesus and receive him into our lives, we pop up on Satan's radar because we're a threat to his evil empire. You know, most people fall into one of two camps. You either underestimate spiritual stuff or you overestimate it. And in the West, we tend generally to underestimate, just a generalization. But the Bible's very explicit about the enemy that we have that wants to devour us, that hates Jesus, is jealous of him, jealous of his power, and hates us because of the authority that we have, because of the relationship we have with Christ. Being a Christian does not make us immune. Paul knew the importance of the church being strengthened in Rome, and we need it too. We desperately need it. The devil can't stop us becoming Christians, but with the lies and accusations, he can definitely make us miserable Christians. When we listen to his lies and his accusations, he's a liar and his accuser. That's what it says in the Bible. When we listen to those lies and those accusations, we become miserable Christians. And we nullify ourselves from seeing a harvest. This is all linked up together. Harvest, mission, being strengthened. We need them both. We need to be strengthened so we can have a harvest. The devil will attack us with doubts. He'll make us believe that this is some kind of psychological experience. So much of the battle is up here. That's why Ephesians 6 talks about a helmet of salvation. Because it's in the mind that we get attacked so much with doubts and fears and anxiety. Fellowship is crucial. I'm preaching to the converted because we're all here. But fellowship is crucial. Staying in the body of Christ is so important. Because Paul says we mutually encourage each other. If Paul needed to be strengthened and mutually encouraged by the church in Rome, how much more do we need to be mutually encouraged by one another? Encouragement is such a gift from God. In Romans 12, verse 8, it's described as a gift. This is the last place on earth that we should go out of not feeling encouraged. Let me wrap up with this. Do we need recalibrating? Do we need to discover mission again? Do we need to consider a harvest again? Are we just turned in on ourselves? About our own experience? Or are we seeking a harvest? Are we seeking to love people? Not with an agenda, but just to love people, just to pour out the love of Christ in our community. Let me remind you of what St. Augustine said. Pay special attention to those who, by the accidents of time or space or circumstance, are brought into closer connection with you. Start with those around you. Seek a harvest. Be intentional. It is always a season for harvesting. the ripe can't reap themselves. Have you got a vision for mission? Have you got a vision to see the kingdom of God forcefully advance? And be on your guard for false teaching. We've got so much exposure to false teaching these days. You know, if the Romans, before TV and internet and travel, fast travel, if they were at risk of false teaching, how much more are we? As I was preparing this morning, I was just struck by the thought that we should spend more time in the Word of God than we should in books written about the Word of God. We should spend more time reading God's Word than people's opinions of God's Word. And He will direct us. If we ask Him for His Spirit to reveal to us what He wants to say to us at that moment, if we read it, not as an academic pursuit, but as a relationship, if we read it, asking Him to help us, because it's difficult, isn't it? He will speak to us. He will guide us. We will be strengthened. And we're to strengthen each other. God only knows we need it. We need to strengthen each other by encouraging one another. Such an easy thing to do. Let's stand.